Is it running? Yeah. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos Erev Shabbos shiur. This shiur continues full steam ahead, thanks to the dedication of all of the women who learn with us, Miriam Goodman's organization skills, Ribono Shel Olam for giving us the koach to learn, and our past, current, and future sponsors. We appreciate everybody who makes this chabura come together week in and week out, and it's truly inspiring. Tonight's shiur is being sponsored by Dora Gluck. Dora Gluck has been learning with me for quite some years now in many different venues, and we have developed a relationship of Torah together. And Dora, I want you to know, I read the email that you sent me at my dinner table. Okay, no one's here to tell you, but Hashem is knows that I speak the MS, and I was very inspired by what you wrote about your father. So Dora's father's yahrzeit, Andre Gluck, Avram Chaim ben Simcha, Zichrona Levracha, yahrzeit is 18 Teves. He would have been, Dora told me, 103 on his next birthday. And this is his third yahrzeit. May his neshama merit an aliyah neschus of the Torah learning that we will share. He was a beloved husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, brother, and uncle. He was born in a small town in Transylvania. At the age of 12, he had to go to work, as so often was the case, to help support his family. He was forced to serve during World War II in the Romanian army. He ended up a prisoner in a labor camp. He lost most of his family, including his wife and two small children, one of whom he never even met in the Holocaust. With strength and emunah and simcha, he rebuilt his life, married, started a family, his own business. He was the leader of the Jewish community in, my family told me how to say this, Bogota. Arye, forget how you say Bogota.
Bogota.
What? Come here. They told me at supper how to say it.
Bogota.
Bogota. He was the leader of the Jewish community in Bogota, Colombia, and then New York and Florida. Integrity, MS, Baal Chesed, Baal Tzedakah. He woke up every morning at 5 a.m. to recite Tehillim and always learned the Parsha. And I even underlined this. At the age of 90, he began to learn Gemara with his grandson, since he never had the opportunity to learn in yeshiva due to life circumstances. On his kever is the pasuk ki zedim helitzuni ad meod mitorascha lo notisi. When willful sinners mocked me, I did not turn away from Torah. He never strayed from Torah, no matter what challenges he faced. He is the leader of our entire family still. 3 children, 9 grandchildren, more than can I know, 36 great grandchildren who are all shomrei Torah and mitzvos. May his neshama merit aliyah in the schus of the Torah that we share. And we thank Dora very much for her sponsorship. The neshama of Avram Chaim ben Simcha should have an aliyah neshama. So we are continuing with our shiur this evening, and somebody emailed me with we're continuing with the same Mishnah, and somebody emailed me last week to say how much she enjoyed the series on the Mishnah that we have been going through, Pirkei Avos, Parak Beis, Mishnah Hey, Hillel's teachings. However, we are not done yet. We are still going to spend some time this evening talking about the final teaching, the Al Tomer, you shall not say, L'chisha Ipana, Eshna Shemelo Tifana. Don't say, you know, when I have time to learn, I will learn, lest you never have time. So the reality is that I still want to say more about this part of the Mishnah, this final teaching of Hillel. So we last week went into the Gemara. We ended last week with the Gemara Maseches Yuma Lamed Hey. We really did not finish the piece of Gemara, so that is where I want to go to now. And we're learning about this idea and discussing this idea that a person should never say, when I have time, I will learn, because lest you will never have time. And you have to make the time. So we're going back to the Gemara that we began last week, but we did not get to finish the whole piece. It's Maseches Yuma, Lamed Hey, Amud Beis. The rabbis taught in the Braisa, Ani va'ashir v'rasha ba'in ladin. An ani, a poor person, ashir, a wealthy person, and a rasha, a wicked person, come for judgment in the eternal world of truth. So to the ani, they ask all of them the same question. Okay, last week we only discussed Hillel. Hillel is the one who teaches us this Mishnah. Don't say, when I have time to learn, I will learn, lest you never have time. And that means, lest you will never learn. But the Gemara here gives actually 3 personalities who each obligate somebody else. Hillel obligates the poor person. Im Omer, so when the person comes up, and they say to the poor person, Mipnei Malo Asakta B'Torah, Why didn't you involve yourselves in Torah? Im Omer, so he's going to try to say, Ani Hayisi, I was very poor, Vitarud, the Mizonosai. I was so busy putting together all my Mizonos, all my food. When do you expect me to learn Torah? I was so busy with Parnasa, Armimlo. And they say, Klum, Ani Hayiso, Yoser, Mihilal, you may have been poor, but you weren't poorer than who? Hillel, who teaches you, don't say, when I have time, I'll learn, lest you will never learn. And last week, we quoted the Lashon and the Gemara, so I'm not going to go through the exact same Lashon again, but just let's remind ourselves of the story that the Gemara tells us for those who were not here. They said about Hillel HaZaken that each and every day he would go and perform his labor. He would earn a terapik of money, however much currency that was. Half of it he would give for his parnasa, the parnasa of the household, and half of it he would use as the entrance fee to enter into the base medrash. One day, he didn't even have enough money, this pitiful amount of money, the terapik, only a half of it, and the shomer of the base medrash wouldn't let him in. There's a fee, you don't pay tuition, you can't come to school. Not much has changed. Can't pay, you don't come. Allah v'nitla v'yashav al pi aruba. So he goes up and he sits on the roof over the skylight. Kidei sheyishma divrei Elokim chay mipi Shmaya v'Avtalion, where Hillel's rabbis, and he said, I want to make sure to hear Torah from the mouths, the divrei Elokim chayim, the words of the living God, from the mouths of Shmaya and Avtalion. Remember, it was Erev Shabbos. Remember Kufas Teves. And he sits and he hears the words of Torah and it starts to snow. In the morning at Shabbos Kodesh, and they look up and they say, you know, it's pretty dark in here today. It's not like there's a blackout because there was no electricity. Why is the sun or some kind of natural light not permeating through the skylight? And lo and behold, they go outside, and what do they see? Hillel is laying on top of the skylight. He is covered by mounds of snow. They bring him inside. They extricate him from the snow. They wash him with warm water. They anoint him with oil. They sit him opposite the fire. And they say, for this one, it is worthy to be Mechal Shabbos. And they saved Hillel because he would have probably died from hypothermia, even though they probably didn't have the term and frostbite back in these times. So Hillel is Mechayev the Ani. So you want to say you were so busy making Parnasa that you didn't have time to learn. It's not going to work because they're going to say, oh, remember Hillel? You know how poor he was? You made time to learn Torah? Next, Ashir. Next, the wealthy person comes up after 120. Amrimlo. So they say to the rich person, Mipnei Malo Asakta B'Torah. So let's hear your excuse. The previous guy told me, I don't have time to learn. Al Tomer Kisha Efana Eshna Chemelotifana. You think I have time to learn? I'm so poor. If you would have given me parnasa, I would have learned. I was so busy trying to eke out a living. When should I learn? So they say, you remember Hillel who taught you this Mishnah? You know how poor he was? He had to sleep on the skylight covered in snow, but he could hear the Torah. So now the rich person comes. So they say to the rich person, so nu taka mipnei l'malo asakta b'Torah. What's your excuse? And what is he going to say? He's going to say the same thing as the poor person. The poor person says, I was busy with my parnasa. You know what the rich person says? I was busy with my parnasa. Im Omer Ashir Hayisi. So you know why I didn't learn Torah. I was rich. Vitarud Hayisi Benichasai. I was so busy with my possessions. Amrimlo. So they say to him, Klum Ashir Hayisa Yoser mi Rabbi Elazar. You weren't richer than Rabbi Elazar ben Charsam. How rich was Rabbi Elazar ben Charsam? He was so fabulously wealthy. Amru Alava Rabbi Elazar ben Charsam. They say about Rabbi Elazar ben Charsam, how wealthy was he? Shehiniach lo aviv alef ayaros bayabasha. He was so rich that his father left him 1,000 cities on dry land. Today you would measure wealth in different terms, not in terms of how many cities a person owns on dry land, but clearly this rabbi, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsam, was very wealthy and he was able to, he had a lot of real estate. 1,000 cities on dry land, ukenegdan elef svinos bayam. And not only that, but corresponding to 1,000 cities on dry land, he had 1,000 ships at sea. So he's a magnate. He's a shipping magnate, and he's an empire of real estate. And nevertheless, ubechol yom vayam. There's something to be said for consistency. Each and every day, we must wake up and reassert our commitment to avodas Hashem. The moment a person thinks he's reached the pinnacle of divine service is the moment he's lost. B'chol yom v'yom. What would he do? No tel nod shel kamach al ketefo. He would place a flask of flour upon his shoulder. Umahalech mi'ir le'ir, umimidina le'medina lo'motor. And every day, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, instead of sitting in the office and counting his real estate business and properties, and instead of worrying about the shipping business that he had, every single day, b'chol yom v'yom, he would take a flask on his shoulder and he would go from city to city, from province to province in order to learn Torah. Pam achas mitzu avadav. One time his servants encountered him and they pressed him into the master service. The workers found him. They said, you know, you're our master. You're the shipping magnate. You're the real estate mogul. You need to be in charge of your properties and your ships. Come on, get to work. Amar lahen, and Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom said to them, Bivakasha mikem, please, I have a bakasha from you. I beg you. Hanichuni, leave me alone. Hanichuni, ve'eilech lomod Torah. So that I can go and I could learn Torah. Amrlo, so they said to him, Chaye Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, by the life of Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, she'ein manichin osach, we will not leave you. From this incident we learn, we will not release you, they said, but from this incident we learn, in all his days, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom never went to see his servants. He was too busy. One time they encountered him. They said, are you the great Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom? You hired us to run the shipping magnate. Why aren't you involved in it? He said, leave me alone. He would sit and he would engage in Torah. He hired people to run his businesses. I don't know if today anybody could be that removed from their business. But you can't say you're so busy making parnasa that you didn't have time to learn Torah. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, who had 1,000 cities on dry land and 1,000 ships corresponding, were able to learn Torah. So you also have to learn Torah. Finally, so the Ani is going to come and say, I was so busy making parnasa. They're going to say, remember Hillel? The Asher is going to come. They're going to say, why were you so busy? He said, I had so many properties to manage. They're going to show him Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom. And finally, the Rasha comes up. Rasha omrim lo, mipnei ma lo asakta b'Torah. To the Rasha, they say, so why, Taka, were you involved in Torah? Im omer na'a ha'isi. So the first two guys were busy with parnasa. But the Rasha's busy with something else. He's busy with his Yetzer Hara. I was so handsome. I'm so beautiful. You think I have time for Torah? I have to be on the street, in the brothels. I have to be with the people. V'tarud b'yitzri haya. I was so busy with my evil inclination. Amrim lo klum na ha'yisa m'Yosef. You weren't more beautiful than Yosef. What does it tell us in Paraklam? It tells about Yosef Atzadik. Right before Vatisa Eishas Adonav Es Einav. Paraklamites, right before that pasuk, what does it tell us about Yosef? By he Yosef, yefei to'ar v'yefei mara. Yosef was a beautiful appearance and beautiful to look at. So the Rasha is going to come. He says, you know, I was so busy. I was so handsome. I have a lot of people to take care of. Never mind the business. They say, well, that's very nice, but klum na yisa Yosef, mi Yosef, you weren't more beautiful than Yosef. Amru alav al Yosef atzadik. They say about Yosef, whose last name is Tzadik. And I point that out, and that's the Lashon of the Gemara here. It's Maseches Yuma, Lamed Hei Beis, because not too many people have the last name Tzadik. Avram, the patriarchs are Avinu, and the matriarchs are the Imahos, or Imenu, and Moshe's Rabbeinu, and Aaron his Hakohen, and Bilam is Rasha. Not too many get the Toar Tzadik. Amru Alav Al Yosef HaTzadik. They say about Yosef HaTzadik, B'kol Yom V'Yom. Oh, she also had a lot of tenacity and persistence. Each and every day, I saw Ashes Potiphar, Mishta Dalto Bidvarim. Each and every day, she would try and convince him with words. Oh, this is one of my favorite lines. Begadim shalav shalo shachris, lo lav shalo arvis. Twice a day, she's changing her clothing. He's coming to Swiffer and Windex and clean and Clorox and peel and chop the vegetables. Begadim shalav shalo shachris, lo lav shalo arvis. Twice a day, the woman's changing. He's 17 years old. What do you expect from him? Maybe his father was in on the sale. The brothers got rid of him. Why shouldn't he give in to her? Begadim shalav shalo arvis, lo lav shalo shachris. And what she wore in the evening wasn't what she wore in the morning. She must have been a very powerful person. Her husband was the chief executioner. According to Targum Onklis, the Sar HaTabachim is the chief executioner to Pharaoh. So he operated a pretty high position in Pharaonic Egypt. And she had a lot of money. She had so many clothing that twice a day she's changing her clothing. Amr lo, hisham ali. And she said to him, surrender, yield to me Amar lo lav. He said, no, how can I do that? Amar lo hareni chovashtecha beveis ha'asurin. She said to him, if you do not yield to me, I will put you in jail. And he said to her, Hashem is the matir asurim. You could put me in jail, but God releases the bound. Hareni kofefes komasecha. Behold, I will bend your stature down low. And Yosef answered and said, you could bend my stature low as you want, but Hashem is the zokef kefuvim. Hashem straightens the bent. So she tried another tactic, and she said, Hareini misama es einecha, I'm going to gouge out your eyes. And Yosef wasn't frightened by her. He said, you can't gouge out my eyes. Hashem is pokeach irim. God gives sight to the blind. Nasna lo elef kikure kasef. She was so desperate, she gave him 1,000 bars of silver. Lishmoa ela, to yield to her. Lishkav etzla liot ima, like the pasuk says, to lay with her, to be with her. Rashi says there on the Chumash, to lay with her and to be with her, he would lose this world, he would lose the next world. Just be with me in all worlds. Velo ratza lishmoa ela. He did not want to listen to her. Oh. Here the Gemara quotes, Rashi quotes on the Chumash, Lishkav etzla, to lay with her, ba'olam haza. Lios ima la'olam haba. Does anyone know the password to enter the meeting on the phone? If somebody knows the password, if you recall from the meeting, I could look it up for you. Does anyone have their... 1 second, please. The password is Pirkei Avos. Here, let me type it. P-I-R-K-E-I. There you go. Okay, that should work. So, he did not listen to her to lay with her in this world. He did not want to be with her in the world to come. And the Braisa concludes and says, Nimtza Hillel Mechayev Es Ha'aniyim. Hillel is mechayiv the aniyim. You can't go up and say, I didn't learn Torah. You know, the kisha efana ashna, Hashem eloti efana. You know, my whole life I said, when I have time, I'll learn. But I don't know, God, I just never had the time. If you would have given me, you know, if I would have won the lottery, I would have learned. You can't use poor or poverty as an excuse because you weren't poorer than Hillel. Hillel is mechayiv the aniyim. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom with his 1,000 cities and 1,000 ships is Mechayev as Ha'ashirim, Yosef Mechayev as Ha'rasha'im. So whatever excuse we think we're going to have when we get up to the Olam Emes, one person's so busy with his food, and the next person's busy with his possessions, and the next person's busy with his Yetzer Hara, and they're going to say in the Beis Din Shalmala, we have an answer for that. And the answer to he who is poor as Hillel, to he who is rich as Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, and he who is so busy with his Yetzer, because he's so beautiful, is Yosef HaTzadik. In other words, if Hillel could do it, you could do it. And if Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom could pull himself away from all his fabulous riches, you could pull yourself away from your fabulous riches. And if Yosef could overcome his Yetzer Hara, that's an internal battle we all face, then we do not have an excuse for why I did not set aside time to learn, why I did not set aside time for God in my life. I'm going to add a chiddush that I just heard on Tuesday to this Gemara that I never heard before. Somebody from Los Angeles listens to my shiurim online. I'm sorry, I like to give credit. I don't remember her name. Sorry. But she emailed me a couple months ago, shiur link, Parshas Vayera, something that I had sent in a shiur online, reminded her of a different Ha'ara by Rabbi Philip Moskowitz from Boca Raton Synagogue, Florida. So she sent me the shiur link to Rabbi Philip Moskowitz's shiur. So finally, a month and a half later, had time to listen. So besides for the insight she wanted me to hear, I was very taken by the final insight of his shiur, which relates exactly to this Gemara. So I'm now going to screen share. Can you see my screen? Yes, you can. Very good. Okay, so I'm going to put you down here. So we're on Perek Yud Ches of the Book of Bereishis. Parshas Vayera. Vayera loved Hashem, and God appeared to him, Ba'alone Mamre, in the plains of Mamre, V'hu Yoshiv Pesach Ha'ol K'chom Hayom. And he's sitting at the entrance to the tent in the heat of the day. This is a very famous Pasuk. They're going to have the Malachim, and they're going to give Avram Refuah Shleima, and they're going to tell Sarah she's going to have a baby, and they're going to go destroy Sodom. This is in the immediate aftermath of Perak Yud Zayin, when Avram does his Bris Milah. So let us look at Rashi on this pasuk. It's Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Aleph in Bereishis. So Rashi says, Vayera Elav, why did God appear to him? Levaker et Techola. It's on this side of my screen, to visit the sick. Quoting from Masechah Sota, Yud Dalet Aleph. Amar Rabbi Chama Barabbi Chanina, Yam Shlishi Lemilaso Hayo, Balkosh Baruch Hubashal Bishlombo. So this is a famous Rashi. Why did God come to do Biker Cholim? It was the third day post Brismila. He's in the most pain, and God came to check, how you doing? Ba'alone Mamre, because he is the one who gave him the advice to do Bris Milah. Therefore, he is worthy that Avram should do the Bris in the plains of Mamre. Pasacha Ohel, I skipped one Rashi, we're going to come back to that. At the entrance to the tent, are there passers-by that he could bring in to his home? Kechom Hayom, God took the sun out of its sheath. So he shouldn't be matriach, he shouldn't be troubled with guests. But God saw that Avram had so much pain, emotional pain, from not being able to do achnasas archim, he brought malachim in the image of angels. Let's look at a Rashi that perhaps doesn't get so much attention by the lay people. Yoshev. Okay, look at the pasuk over here. Vayere lav Hashem balone mami vuhu Yoshev pasach ha'ol kechamim. So look at the word Yoshev right here. Yod shin veis. There's no vav. It's what we call written chaser. There's no vav. Right? It should be yod vav shin beis. There's no vav. So Rashi points out yashav kitiv. It's written as if the word is yashav, which is sat. What does this teach us? Bikesh la'amod. And God appeared to Avram. Avram wanted to stand up. I mean, if you stand up for a Sefer Torah, and you stand up for a Talmud Chacham, you should certainly stand up for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Bikesh la'amod. Avram wanted to stand up. Amar lo Kosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, no, shave. You sit. Va'ani amod. I will stand. Va'ata simon levanecha. You are a sign, a foreshadowing for your children. Sha'asid, in the future, ani lehit yasev, ba'adas hayadanim, vehein yoshvin. In the future, I will be the one standing in the company of judges, in the congregation of judges, and they will sit. But right now, Avram, you're sitting, and I, God, am standing. So therefore, v'hu yoshev pesachol, don't read it yoshev, read it yashav, sat. Hashem said, you sit, Avram wanted to get up, I will stand, you are a foreshadowing for your children, I am destined, said God, in the future to stand in the assembly of judges while they are sitting. So what we learn from here, and this is an insight that Rabbi Moskowitz was quoting from Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita. It's funny, the woman from LA who emailed me the link, she wanted me to hear Rabbi Moskowitz's insight, if we had time, I would share with you, but not right now. It's on this park, of Rabbi Mordechai Willig Shlita. And then that's the insight she wanted me to hear, and I listened all the way to the end. And then he also quoted Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita. So Rav Herschel Schachter teaches on this Rashi. What's going on here? Avram, we understand, is sitting in some sort of judgment. Avram wants to stand up. Hashem says, no, you should sit. You're the judge. The judge sits. All rise, the judge enters the court, and then he has a seat, and everyone can sit down. Avram is judging. Not only is he judging, va'ato simon levanecha. You are some sort of foreshadowing for your sons. What kind of judgment was going on here? What and who is Avram Avinu judging? And in the future, Hashem will judge his children based on the simon of Avram Avinu. In the future, God says, I will be standing in the assembly of judges, and your children will be sitting, and I'll be judging them. What's going on? So Rabbi Moskowitz quoted from Rav Herschel Schachter. Very beautiful. When we go up to judgment in the Olam HaEmes, if you think you were too poor and you use that as an excuse to not learn, you're mechayev by Hillel to explain your actions and realize you didn't have an excuse. Hillel is mechayev the Aniyim. And if you think you're too rich, so you also couldn't learn because you were busy with the real estate and the ships, on the business deals, on the office, on the phone calls, on the emails that never stop. So they're going to tell you about Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, who's Mechayiv Dashirim. And if you're too busy with your Yetzer Hara, so then you're Mechayiv by Yosef Atzadik. And if you say, I didn't have time for Chesed, I had so much to do, there was so much on my plate, you think I could do Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chesedim? That's also Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Av, Mishnah Beis. You think I could do everything? Avram is Mechayiv everybody else. Atasiba and Lebanecha. Sit now, said Hashem, but in the future, I'm going to be standing. Your children will be sitting in my court. You're the measuring stick. You're the yardstick by which I will measure Knesset Yisrael. Amazing. Amazing. Rabbi Philip Moskowitz, in the name of Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita. That when we come up, and we want to give all these excuses for why we didn't turn. I didn't turn my face to somebody else. I didn't turn my face to the Gemara. I didn't take the time to daven. We spoke last week about Shimshon Pinkas saying, everyone's running out of shul. Where are you running? Without tefillah, God's not going to give you anything. So Hillel is Mechayev the Aniyim. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom is Mechayev the Ashirim. Yosef HaTzadik is Mechayev the Rishayim. And Avram Avinu is Mechayev all of us. Because if Hillel could learn from poverty, and Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom could learn from wealth, and Yosef could learn from the throes of his evil inclination, and Avram Avinu could do chesed and bring shame Hashem to the whole world, even at the age of 99, 3 days post Bris Milah, he's mitzta'er that there's no guest coming, then certainly we can find time to learn, to daven, to do, to make sure we're doing chesed for somebody else. So Hashem says, in the future, asir ani lehis yatzev ba'adas hayadanim behein yoshvim. In the future, I will be standing in the assembly of judges, and your children will be sitting, and they will be judged before me. According to what? According to you, Avram Avinu. I thought how appropriate it is for the Aliyah Neshama this evening, Avram Chaim Ben Simcha. Because maybe somebody will not have had opportunity to learn in their lives. And maybe you'll say, Hashem, you know, I never had a Jewish education. Not everyone is zocha to Jewish education. And Hashem, I never had the opportunity and I never had the money for tuition. My parents couldn't send me. I never had access. So you're going to get up there. You're going to say, I didn't have time. One says I'm too poor. I didn't have money. One says I'm too rich. I had too much money. One says I had too much of a Yetzer Hara. One says you think I have time for chesed. And they're going to show you Hillel. And they're going to show you Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, and they're going to show you Yosef Atzal, they're going to show you Avram Avinu. So the next guy comes, he says, I have an excuse, I was too old. You took away my yeshiva education from me, so I never had time. And then I was busy with Parnassa, and I was busy rebuilding my family. I was busy with this and busy with that. And by the time I turned down, I'm 90, so you think I should learn? I found it incredible that Dora, your father, at the age of 90, began to learn Gemara with his grandson, since he never had the opportunity to learn in yeshiva. So he's Mechayev, all of us, at any age, who think we don't have the time. So when we talk about the ability to reach higher heights, we're never too poor, we're never too rich, we're never too taken with our evil inclination, we're never too sick or too weak or too old like Avram. And the ship didn't sail until Ataka sailed. Ba'ko ozman sha'ner dolek afshar letaken. At the age where most people say, you know, okay, whatever, I missed the boat. I think it's just amazing and unbelievably inspiring that your father, Avram Chaim ben Simcha lo v'sham, began to learn Gemara at the age of 90. I want to share a story from Rabbi Pesach Krohn, from the book In the Splendor of the Maggid. I don't know who Malki Sultan is, but thank you very much for that very nice comment. Private message, I appreciate it. Rabbi Pesach Krohn writes, Rabbi Moshe Pluchak is a Rebbe in Yeshiva Derech Chaim in Brooklyn. Every summer, the Yeshiva travels up to the Catskills camp to Greenfield Park. They have a cola. Okay. Rabbi Pluchak and many of his colleagues and students arrived at the camp one particular summer, and he noticed a middle-aged newcomer. He appeared to be a businessman, but the intensity of his study was extraordinary. He rarely looked up from his Gemara. When he had difficulty with a passage, he asked others who were much younger than he. One day, Rabbi Plutchik approached this well-dressed gentleman, and he said, "I've been watching you for a few days. I am fascinated by your hasmada, your diligence in study. I marvel you don't hesitate to ask when you need clarification." The man looked up, and he said, you don't know me, he said, "but the art school Gemara is carrying me. I am very sick. I have liver cancer. If I were to think about how sick I really am, I would not be able to make it through the day. So I come here to the yeshiva to get away from my reality. I never had the opportunity to learn in yeshiva when I was younger. But now that art school has translated the Gemara into English, I can make a connection to my legacy." "Sir," said Rabbi Plutchik, totally overwhelmed, "I'd like to be your friend, and I will help you in any way that I can." The two became very close friends. The day before the summer season ended, Rabbi Plutchik came to the Beis Medrash and noticed his friend was not there. Rabbi Plutchik rushed over to him. He saw him sitting all the way in the back. At first he wasn't there. Then he realized he was there. His shoulders drooped. "Are you okay? You look a little pale." And the man said, "My illness is progressing. And lately I've been thinking, what difference does it make if I learn? Who cares? But all you fellows learn, it's so special. You're Talmidei Chachamim. You think I understand everything, even with the art scroll Gemara? What difference does it make if I learn?" And we could all say that. It's Hillel's advice. He's speaking to every single one of us. "Al tomer the kishe afanat eshna shamelo tifana." Don't say, "When I have time, I'll learn," lest you never have time. And everyone could say, "Someone else will do it. There are people learning all over the world all the time, so why do I have to make the time? Someone else will make the time." Rabbi Plutchik told me, Rabbi Pesach Kron, it was a miracle. He heard the following story just the night before on a Jewish radio station. And he related this story to this man. Many years ago, the greatest symphony conductor in the world was an Italian maestro, Arturo Toscanini. He died in 1957 at the age of 89. One afternoon, a biographer called Toscanini, who was writing a biography, and he asked permission to visit the following night. Toscanini said, "Not tomorrow night." So the writer said, he insisted, and Toscanini said, "No, I insist. Tomorrow night I have something special. No interruptions." "What are you doing that's so special?" said the biographer. "There'll be a concert in Europe, and I plan to listen on the radio. I led the orchestra last year. I want to hear how the conductor leads it this year. I don't want any distractions in order to concentrate on the music." "But sir," said the biographer, "I will sit silently. I will discuss the concert with you once it's over. I promise I won't utter a sound." Toscanini relented and allowed the writer to visit during the broadcast of the concert performance. So the next night, at 7:45, the writer came to Toscanini's home, and at 8:00, the concert began. Together, they listened for the full hour, and Toscanini switched off the radio, and the biographer said, "Finally, he's allowed to speak. Wasn't that magnificent?" "No, it wasn't," said Toscanini. "There were supposed to be 120 musicians, among them 15 violinists. But there were only 14 violinists." The biographer was incredulous. "That's ridiculous. How could Toscanini possibly know that from a radio broadcast?" He didn't dare question the maestro, but he wanted to find out for himself. The next morning, he called the musical director of the orchestra. "I am an American news correspondent. Please tell me how many musicians were supposed to be in the orchestra last night and how many actually showed up to play." The director said there were supposed to be 120 musicians, but one of the violinists called in sick, so instead of 15, we had 14. The biographer could not believe his ears. That night he returned to Toscanini and he said to the maestro, "I owe you an apology. Last night you told me there were only 14 violinists at the concert. I was sure you were guessing, but I called the musical director today and he confirmed what you said. How could you have known?" Toscanini paused and said, "There is a great difference between you and me. You are part of the audience. To you, everything sounds great. I am the conductor. And the conductor must know every sound that comes forth from the orchestra. When I heard the performance and I realized that some notes were not coming forth, I knew without question one violinist was missing." Rabbi Plutchik told the story to the ailing gentleman, his newfound friend. And he said, "You're right. Maybe to me, it makes no difference that you're learning. But to the conductor of the world symphony, who knows every line of music that can come forth, who knows every line of Torah that can be learned, every line of tefillah that can be prayed, to him it makes all the difference in the world." The following winter, Rabbi Plutchik met the man's son and he said, "How's your father?" Young man said, Rabbi, I'm sorry to tell you my father passed away, but I want you to know that after he came back that summer, every time he opened that art school gemara, he said, I am now performing for the conductor of the World Symphony. Comments Rabbi Pesach Krohn. We are all musicians in Hashem's symphony orchestra. In any orchestra, the drummer cannot play the cello, the cellist cannot play the flutist cannot play the violin. Each must play his own instrument to the best of his ability. So some of us have more time for Torah, for tefillah, for tehillim, for chesed. Some of us have less time. Some of us have more ability and intuition for it, and some of us have less. But no one is able to say, it's not for me and I can't. Because everyone is instrumental when you're playing for the conductor of the World Symphony. Each one of us, says Rabbi Krohn, is different. Everyone must perform his spiritual music with his talents, his mindset, his personality. No two people are alike. No two people should try to be alike. We must each be the best we can be, because we always must focus on the fact that we're performing to the best of our capability for the conductor of the World Symphony. We have to use our talents, abilities, and capabilities. I know I quote it often from Rabbi Zev Lef. And do what we can on our level. And some of us come to Torah and Gemara earlier for men, for Koveya Itim. And some of us at the age of 90. But as long as we're here, the pauper doesn't have an excuse. The wealthy man doesn't have an excuse. The guy with the HR, which by the way is all of us, doesn't have an excuse. There's no excuse, we learn from Avraham Avinu, for not doing chesed. There's no excuse for not learning Torah. I'm just going to end with one nakuda. My daughter came home from school. She said, you want to hear what Mrs. Pear told me? My daughter's in TMM in 12th grade, Baruch Hashem. I think it's a beautiful way to end the shiur tonight. If you have to go, you could go. I know it's supposed to be 30 minutes, but by now you've all learned it's never 30 minutes. Mrs. Pear told them, there was a man who had a very handicapped daughter, physically handicapped daughter, facial deformities, and he left Israel and he came to America and he took her wherever he could, to whatever hospitals and doctors and treatments and plastic surgeons. And he gave up so much to travel with his daughter so the doctors perhaps could fix her appearance and make her feel more confident and more beautiful. And he said, when they asked him why you're doing this, he said, because I know that one day she's going to ask me, did you do everything possible to make me as beautiful as possible? Mrs. Pear said, one day our neshama is going to say to us, did you do everything possible? Did you go to great lengths to make me your neshama as beautiful as possible? And we have to think about what we're going to say when that question faces us. Ani Ashir Virasha Ba'in Ladin. What will our answer be? And God says, so did you make time for me? Because Hillel says, don't say when I have time, I'll get to you, God, because you might never have the time. May the neshama of Avram Chaim ben Simcha merit an aliyah on his yahrzeit 18th Teves. I thank everybody for learning with me this evening. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue next week. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos. Kol Tov, everyone. Thank you.